You know, what, with everything you said, I appreciate that. No, and actually, I do take credit for giving him his name because I did. But that's not the point. I didn't know what it meant. Because we were very young at that time. And, my mom, says, you know, brought Clayton home and says, we got to give him a name. And I had heard this name in school and it was Clayton. I said, and I didn't know anyone. There was one cat in school who was named Clayton. And I thought it was the coolest name. I said, Mom, why don't you name Clayton? She said, yeah, I like that. And that's where it came from. But I didn't know the meaning behind it, but I just, to me, it was unique and it was cool. And I had no idea up until recently. He told me this before. He said, man, I never, before we even got into this conversation, we're going back a few months or so ago, or maybe even longer, maybe a year or so. And he said, man, I never liked my name, because we had this, we was joking around. I said, I gave you that name. Yeah, man, you said, man, growing up, I hated my name. I had no idea that he hated his name.
And he gave it to
Aww.
Me. I so you can see the strain that he put on my life.
Are we good now? Are we good now? Because my memory is great, and I think I just heard you said you learned to love your name. So are we good?
We are good.
All right, then. All right, let's go back to the professional because, again, and I understand what you do in your job. And see, this is really deep, folks, because we have no idea. We have no idea on what we say to others make a difference. Someone can say something, and perhaps you can tell a story or two, Sister Rose, about someone who from a different background or ethnicity or whatever it is, education, they will say something to someone from a different background, different ethnicity, and they might not know how what they are saying to that person can affect that person. There are certain people that you can say, for instance, Clayton and I can say certain things among each other, but if somebody else said that to us, you know, it could be and would be offensive because they don't know, I don't know where they are coming from.
Right.
You see, I want to talk about a little bit how words matter. And Tiffany can jump in on this because with her passion and with her experiences, you know, and her profession, she deals with words. She's deal with people speaking. She deal with emotions on a certain level, you know, fiction or nonfiction on what she does. But I want you to address this. How important is and what is the responsibility of a company or someone in your position to kind of educate people? That's why I think these programs, you guys, if you go and talk about DEI or you're going from a human resource and you put on these affirmative, these programs that want to make sure that everyone is inclusive, is there a talk about the types of things or the way that you would address one employee to another or how to? Sister Rose?
Oh, I thought you were waiting for Tiffany.
I'm sorry. Tiffany? No, I had mentioned Sister Tiffany and she can jump in next. But let's talk about words matter. Mm-hmm. Words matter. And so do you address that or how we should communicate with, say I was an employee, or we are employees, would you talk about, address the matter or how we should address one another in the workplace? Some people may say something, they may not think that's offensive, but it would be, or it could be. Is there an education behind that in what you do and at the workplace?
Yeah, so that was the whole point of the Talent Equity Partners starting at the job. It derived from conversations that took place or forums that took place after George Floyd died.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a little awkward being in the workplace and having to deal with that, and everyone kind of felt like, you know, they needed to walk on eggshells.
Mm.
But through identity work and then just conversations and understanding racism and different biases that people carry unconsciously sometimes, it can kind of make its way or filter into the professional aspect. And it may not be on purpose, but those are things that needs to be addressed to make sure that everyone is treated equally and we are inclusive of everyone's backgrounds and professional backgrounds as well. So that's the most important aspect. I know you mentioned something about mental health earlier, and I don't deal directly with mental health, but there's people in every aspect that has mental health issues or concerns that may need to be diagnosed or undiagnosed, but it's up to us to be accommodative to their needs. And hopefully they get those, any issues addressed if needed. But that's not my forte, per se, but my job does provide opportunities for any employee to address their mental health needs.
You know, and a reason why I asked that, and then Sister Tiffany jumped right on in. The reason why I asked that, because when you mentioned the George Floyd incident, and how, and I was really amazed at this, and how that affected your employees. And I said, whoa, it's unbelievable, because you're right. People were stuck inside. A lot of places shut down, including your churches. And some of those churches needed to be shut down anyway. But anyway, that's another whole story. Yeah, you can have some churches out here, I believe, that do more harm than they do good. Especially when you talk about these prosperity preachers. And the reason why I say that, because they said, you put your money in here and it's going to come back 100-fold. And people put their light, they got rent due. And they are so desperate, they will put their, and I'm going to give you a little story, a true story about this. Because I had an employee at a former place that I worked. And they will put their last dime in. And so can you imagine, you are really believing this so-called prophet or whoever he is. You put your last dime into something. It's just like anything in life. And you take a gamble on that, believing that it's going to come back, and it doesn't. Well, now you're more devastated than you were before you started that process or did this thing. So people have to understand, look, we have to go on something that's solid. We have to believe in one another. I mean, but not believe in the truth, okay? And not go along with some charlatans, because so many people out here will deceive you. They will take advantage of you. You know, but anyway, I'm going to get off of that, and I'm going to go straight to Tiffany, like I said. And do you want to address that before we go to Tiffany? Rose?
Oh, me address it? No, I mean, I think that there's always going to be barriers wherever you go. It's just having those coping mechanisms, using the opportunities that's available to you. Hopefully, everyone's place of work has those opportunities available to them. I know that when George Floyd incident occurred, my job opened up counseling services for anyone who may need it.
Mm-hmm.
Because some, wow, it was a very hard thing to process and understand, reasons why they may have triggered some feelings of what other loved ones have experienced, or even, you know, they have experienced themselves. So, yeah, I think that the coping mechanism is the most transparent thing that I could talk about right now is coping mechanisms, because everyone has their own right in how they deal with things or how they express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that can affect you in numerous ways, whether in work or your personal relationships. If you're going through something and trying to process it and you are having a hard time to process it, you should seek out counseling.
Yeah,
absolutely. Tiffany?
Yes. So my question would be, have you ever personally had to deal with, as far as in the workplace, any type of racial issues, or have you seen another employee have to deal with any type of racial issues or words that were said?
Absolutely. And let's see, I don't want to put the people out, but in a previous place that I worked for, it was a university. I feel like they hired me as a token Black girl, and it became even more evident as to where I was placed, my assignment. Through my assignment, through my work that I was doing, I discovered some unsatisfactory business practices, I'll put it that way, with the students that we were dealing with. And I said something to my coworker and my other coworkers, and I said, hey, I noticed, you know, this issue occurring over and over again, and I feel like these students are being misled on the programs that they should be selecting, and just the opportunities that they should have. And she used the same format of how I discovered those, and she ended up seeing some as well. So we met with the vice president at the time of that school, and we were able to rectify it. My boss at the time was not happy because we did not go to her first. Actually, we did go to her first, and she ignored us. And we went to the VP, so she was not happy. And she thought that it was me that reported the issue, but it was actually my coworker that reported it. So as a result, now I was being scrutinized for every little thing that I did. I mean, to the point where I had to say I responded to such and such at 11:54 a.m. on this date just to say that I did a project. And it went on like that for several weeks until she realized it was my coworker that actually reported. And she ended up getting written up because it was retaliation against essentially us being a whistleblower. So she did get written up, and that was basically undercover racism, if you want to say, that I endured. And that was hard. It was a good lesson to learn and what to look for, and making sure that one, I document everything. So that definitely helped me really young in my professional life, and also making sure that when I do speak with people, I follow up with an email so that you know this is what the person said, this is what I said, and there's no confusion. It's clear and concise information. So that is something that I learned from that. I believe that every experience that you incur should be a learning lesson.
Right.
Whether it's positive or negative, you need to have learned something from it.
Right. Sister Rose, then we're going to go to Craig Clayton and then back to Robert. My experience, give me an example, dealing with HR. And I think that the HR department is only as good as the head of the organization. And I'm going to tell you why I say so. Some people have a bad connotation or bad feeling about human resources. And it sounds like you run a really, really, really good department. It sounds like that. My experience with that was that HR worked for, they were really pro-company. And they advertised as pro-employee. But in so many places, it's not like that at all. HR has to be the one, like the enforcer, that does the dirty work that the company wants done. And my experience in a particular situation, that I knew I was right. I knew I was right. Give an example. I was working for a major firm. You know, I think I mentioned to you I was a former stockbroker, but I'm still a licensed financial advisor and an insurance broker. And I worked for this company, and I reported my boss. And they found a way to retaliate. They found a way to retaliate because he was wrong. He was wrong about a certain situation. I knew it. And the thing about it was I had more credentials and more licenses than my boss did. So I called him out on something, and I knew I was right about it. And I reported him. Well, come find out, and I ended up that year, I was broker of the year. Okay. And I'm the only black professional in that department, and it was 20 of us brokers. The following year, I had also qualified to be broker of the year. And I'm sitting at the table, and I'm waiting for my award. This is second year in a row. Okay, I'm really cool. And there was a $2,000 bonus, a paid vacation, and this beautiful plaque, right? Crystal plaque. And I'm sitting right next to the podium at the top of the table. Okay. And I knew I was going to get my award. And so when they named it, they said, now, broker of the year, I am halfway out of my chair. And he said, Maria Garcia. I said, oh my God. I had to sit right back down. And the numbers were on my side by at least 25%. And he turned to me in front of the entire crowd and says, well, actually, William, your numbers were higher. But in so many words, and I'm paraphrasing right now, but we graded this on the curve. you were here 3 months longer than her. Both of us had been there for over a year and a half. And I'm looking at him, and after the meeting, everyone came to me and says, William, we knew you had won this because they put out weekly reports of production. And I was absolutely crushed behind that. Okay? And then he did something else. Now, I didn't report him for that, but he did something else that I reported him from. And while I was on vacation, I got fired. And the reason why I got fired is because I didn't return a client's phone call while I was on vacation. Can anybody make sense to that to me? While I was on vacation. Okay? Now.
In such a word and paraphrase, no.
Well, Craig on Friday, got fired on his day off.
You?
Craig on the program Friday.
The movie Friday.
The movie.
Oh.
The movie Friday.
Got fired on his day off. Not this Craig. I'm too smart for that. They wouldn't fire me.
Yeah, but that's a movie. I'm talking about real life, brother. Mm-hmm. When I had worked for this, I understand that. But I got fired while I was on vacation. Now. So, if you go on vacation, the rules were, Sister Rose, if you go on vacation, you leave contact information so if your clients call your number, they have someone else they can speak to that's in your place. Not only did I leave one number, I left two. I left one for my personal assistant and also another broker that was qualified to handle any situation. But this is the reason why I was fired. And so HR didn't help me. They refused to help me. So that's why I say the HR department is only as good as the top. Mm-hmm. You know, you have it some. I'm sorry. Go on, sister, please.
No, I was going to say it sounds like there was something going on. Like they was cooking up a whole story over here with dealing with your situation, and it was definitely unfair. And you should have fought it with your firing, because it was not fair. You definitely would have had a case. But in some aspects, yes, with HR, it's like the enforcer of whatever organization or company that right. you have. But HR protects the employees as well to a certain degree, but also protects the organization or company as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you are providing substantial evidence of something changing, you I don't know if you had like a labor relations office or anything to talk through whatever your issues were. No?
No. All we had, it was a financial institution. All we had was the HR department. That's all we had. But to answer your question, I did fight it. Okay. I did fight it. I filed a lawsuit. And wouldn't you have it, the company filed for bankruptcy and went into receivership. They went into receivership. It's a whole other story.
You told them they're going to learn today.
They went in. Okay, now, I didn't win the lawsuit, but they went in receivership, and so the case got quashed because after they came out of receivership, it was a statute of limitations. Hmm. So, but guess what? The thing about this is, I can't and will not cry over spilt milk, because then that led to other opportunities, which leads to other opportunities, which leads us here today.
Yep. And but now I did mention every experience, you should learn from it.
I did.
What did you learn from that?
I learned that, look, you really need to. And I tell you what, as our brother Harold Reed Jr., he said it the most. Last week, he was so profound in his appearance here. You know, and I'm paraphrasing, Robert, and perhaps you can help me, is that what I learned is that, I'm going to paraphrase, that I can make an opportunity out of my missed opportunity. And I'm definitely paraphrasing that. And that what I learned is that this is how I'm going to do things differently. And I also learned to depend on myself. And that's why I went into business for myself. Right. So from there, and I think that if I had stayed with these other corporations, because I have other stories, the same thing, because in my situation, there are very few stockbrokers and financial advisors here in this country that are black. Okay. Now, there are a handful, or there are quite a few, but we represent, if I have to say with my experience, 10% maybe, 15% of an economic-driven society, a capitalistic society, and with the amount of money that black people spend, okay, you take the wealth of black America, we could have our own little small country. Now, I'm not advocating that we do anything. I'm just saying with the amount of wealth that we bring in. Yet our representation isn't as high as it should be. And it has to do a lot to do with our educational system, because being a stockbroker, I would have families to come in, maybe 10% black, and their children would know about stocks and bonds and mutual funds and things like that. When other cultures came in, their children were aware. We need to do a better job teaching things outside of everything else, but we need to really start talking about economics. Okay, Robert just put a detail there. Percentage of black stockbrokers in the United States is 5.5%. You guys get my point?
Mm-hmm. You ever heard of the Willie Lynch letter?
Yes, I have. Will you tell the audience what that is?
The Willie Lynch letter, paraphrasing here, is basically a letter that was written on how to break up the black family. Ooh. And to hide education. So basically you hide the history in books and don't allow them to read it. You break up the family by taking away the man of the household and allow the woman to rule the household. So there is another roadblock there, because if you take away the man of the household, you don't have a strong foundation. Mm-hmm. You're gonna need mm-hmm. them to work as a pair. It's a two-parent household, and I'm not saying that a single-parent household is not great, but it's even better with a two-parent household.
Of course.
I have a question. With that, do you think that is being enforced today with
the Willie Lynch letter?
Yeah, the reason why I asked that is because
This is good.
Of what's happening in the school systems, especially down in Florida and other places as well. Because they say take the history and the knowledge out of the books. Well, as we all know, they don't want them to be teaching certain courses in these school systems anymore, where the books are, you know what I mean? So they're trying to replace, you know, real history with some sort of like falsehood, of some sort of like false ideology, if you will, you know what I mean? Like, it's not real. So I kind of think that they're trying to, in its own like converted way, enforce that same letter, just in a modernized way.
Mm-hmm. I think also the way society has progressed so much, if you look at where we are now, there are more ways to skin a cat, right? You can take away the physical book, but we have something called the internet now. And you can look up just about anything you want to. So if you want to take away the books in the school, they still have an opportunity to do their own research or order the book on their own from Amazon or wherever else they want to. They can visit Barnes & Noble and also, you know, be privy to the information in that book. But they have to also want to do that on their own to find out the information. There's a lot of things that has been discovered since the internet came into play. Just like I'm sure we learned about Lake Lanier, if I'm saying it properly. You learned about Hidden Figures, the women that helped NASA and helping NASA take flight to the moon, about all their calculations. When did we find that information out? How long has that information been available? But it was hidden. No pun intended, but it was hidden from us. But since the internet has came about, people are speaking out more, and you're able to learn things that you would never have thought of. Lake Lanier was a whole town that was buried by water, right? And unfortunately, people are dying, but that's a whole nother conversation. But there's a lot of things. Look at the Black Wall Street that was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. What happened there? We're learning about it. Look at Rosewood. Mm-hmm. Even though that was a movie, there was a lot of truth to that. But there's a lot of things that are coming out now that we are discovering because of the internet. So the resources, yes, it's great, one, to be in a physical book, but there's so many other opportunities now that's available that we can do our own research and have the opportunity to learn.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a fantastic point there, Sister Rose. And just to touch base on what you was talking about, the Black family and breaking up that strong foundation, that was the plight of our adversary a long time ago, to make sure they take that strong Black man out of the family or make him feel less than. They was given nothing to slight our sisters and strong Black women, because I love them. I put them in a high esteem. But the thing is, they took the man. They didn't give him the opportunities to make a good living or to provide for his family. What they did in turn was to put our brothers and sisters that had a voice in prison. Mm-hmm. And that created the prison population. Then in turn, they was giving the women a little bit more in the workforce. So she came home and said, okay, I don't need you. I'm making more money than you are. So it put the women at the head of the household. So that kind of just broke the whole foundation right then. What did the men do? They felt like, okay, I'm not needed, so I'm going to go out here and make my money the way I know how to make it. Wrong choices. All these things took a path to destroying the family. That is something that we need to understand. Mm-hmm. It was a plight in the first place to break us up, to... the father wasn't in the house anymore. The young man, he had to grow up on his own, or having to look at his mother to show him how to be a man. So all of these things was just out of sort.
I couldn't agree more, Clayton. You know, and that's going to lead into my next topic regarding our dear sister Rose and Matthew. And you're exactly right. Clayton, everything you described was done by design. And once we realize, folks, this was a trick that has been played on our society, and it's by design. I can prove it, but I'm not going to get into that because I'm going to get into what something else. Sister Rose, like I said earlier, I had a conversation with her, and it was inspiring. It was also very interesting because, Sister Rose, I would consider you a philanthropist.
Oh, thank you.
Because these are some other things, guys. We were talking about what she does on the workplace, but she does some other things that are quite fascinating. She's also involved in music, and I hope we have enough time to get into that. But let's talk about your work as a philanthropist. And most of you know, a person who seeks to promote the welfare of others, especially by the generous donation of money to good causes. And it doesn't necessarily have to be money involved, but involved with helping, feeding, nurturing, teaching, and things of that nature. Sister Rose, tell us, I feel based on our conversation, you're every bit of a philanthropist. Would you agree, and how so?
Well, I'm honored by being bestowed that title.
Yep. And don't forget where you got. Don't forget where you got it either. Okay.
Oh, okay. No, won't forget. I think for me, you know, as I was mentioned earlier, it's not about titles. I just want to be there to help people. I'm a part of two other nonprofit organizations, in addition to Swing. And it's all about serving the community. Shirley Chisholm said, and I'm probably not saying the whole quote correctly, but community service is the rent that we pay to live on this earth.
Isn't it something?
So that is what I always strive to do, is serve the community. And that's what I always set out to do. Even to this day, in respect to education, if I see a college age person, I will literally stop them and say, hey, I don't even know them. And I will spark up a conversation and ask them, like, what are you doing right now? What grade are you in? Are you going to college? Okay, college is not for everyone. Have you thought about a trade? Because sometimes you can make more money in a trade than you can make, you know, going to college. Mm-hmm. And just kind of broaden their options. Maybe some may want to go into the military, you know, and just having someone to explain the opportunities that's available to them. Because just like going back to the opportunities that we were talking about earlier, if you don't know that a scholarship is out there, and no one is telling you where to look for it, you're going to miss it. So it's important for us, all of us on this call, anyone listening, just not to gatekeep information and make sure you spread the wealth. And that is what I always strive to do. Mm-hmm. I used to post scholarship opportunities. I got away from it because I got busy. Just making sure you're passing on the information so that people can pay for college. It's expensive. I'm sure I don't even know what it is now, but I know when I went to school, I was saying it was expensive, and now I'm looking at people saying they owe hundreds of thousands of dollars just for a semester. it's expensive now, and that needs to be regulated, but that's a whole nother conversation. it is.
But
in the same token, I think that as Black people, we have a tendency to gatekeep information. Mm-hmm. And we need to be a little bit more open and supportive of each other, and not try to be, unfortunately, crabs in a barrel and knocking each other down just to get to the top.
That's right.
We need to share the wealth. And that's a demise in our culture.
That's
we don't
true.
Support
what,
each
what,
other.
What good is it to keep the information to yourself anyway?
It, well,
you're the only one that knows it? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense.
And do you know, if you make an investment, and not necessarily on a financial term, but you, if you make an investment in yourself, you make an investment in your society, it pays off. It pays off. It does. It does have a trickle effect. And so we need to be aware of that. And I think in many ways, this program here is philanthropic, because what we want to do, we want to share information that can be beneficial to the entire globe. Not only Grooves and Swings, but also we have people that listen to us that aren't Grooves or Swings. And I get feedback each and every week. Love that program. I love that topic. And so my hat's off to you, sister, with the information, I mean, what you do out in the communities. Not only with your, and you know, I tell you, that takes a lot of time, and you're taking time away from your family or your work or whatever it is. And I'm not saying, I'm not sure whether it takes away or not. It may be, I'm sure it's something that you enjoy doing, but it does take time. How do you find time to sleep?
I am always tired. That's the other key factor. I'm always tired. But, you know, you make time for what you want to do, right, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I do try to schedule out things and write everything down. Everyone knows I need it to be in my calendar, because if it's not in my calendar, I'm going to miss it. So I make sure it's in there. So you have to stay organized so you don't miss it, because I'm a person that places great demands on myself. So I have to make sure I stay organized.
Right.
And with that, everyone else will be organized, because they'll know what's going on as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the community service, most of the time, it's like once a month that we do the community service. And I just try to make sure that it doesn't conflict with another one, since I'm part of three nonprofit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I will say one community service that is my favorite community service that my chapter did before COVID. We still are participating in that community service, but not in person since COVID. And it's, they've changed their policy, but we used to be the top chef at the Ronald McDonald House, in Philadelphia. And basically we would serve a meal to all the families that were, living in the Ronald McDonald House.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what the Ronald McDonald House is, basically there's a Ronald McDonald House nearby all of the children's hospitals across the United States of America. And basically they provide housing for those families while their children are undergoing procedures or surgeries or anything, just rehabilitation. And it offers them an opportunity to reside close by and be supportive to their child as they're going through the healing process. And also at a low cost or for free, providing them accommodations to live there as long as they need to. And also with meals and everything. So that program offers us an opportunity to reach out to that community that's of need and just kind of put a little bit of joy in their heart, you know, to see that there's love out there and that people want to provide for them. Sometimes a nice home cooked meal means monuments to people, you know, they cherish that. So I really love that community service.
You know, I love this. And, you know, I tell you what, I love that organization. I love the Ronald McDonald House and what they provide. And I think that is absolutely necessary. Can you imagine your child is going through something and your family is going through something traumatic and you're praying and you're hoping for your child? You know, someone to come in to help out with the expenses, because a lot of these families can't afford, you know, to do what needs to be done. And you have somebody to step in showing love and care. It is like my sister Emma says, she said, hey, Ronald McDonald's House is a blessing for many. And I couldn't agree with you more about that. That's incredible. And so, sister, my head is off to you with the work that you do. As a matter of fact, I've contributed before to the Ronald McDonald House because of that reason. Because I said, man, this is real stuff. And it need to be more. Whether it's Ronald McDonald's houses or whatever you want to call it, or whatever company. And wouldn't it be nice if so many multi-mega, and not even multi-mega, but your major corporations would contribute to something like that? to keep programs like that going. This is what humanity is all about. And humanity, to me, has taken a back step to what it used to be. And I'm not going to blame social media. I'm not going to blame the internet or anything like that. But, you know, I tell you what, people, especially in our community, seem like me, we really communicated a lot before social media. You know, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get off subject for a minute, but I remember when I left home, and if I didn't do something right, my mom got the phone call before I got home. Okay? The neighbors, everybody looked out for one another. Okay? You didn't have to have neighborhood watch. The neighbors were watching you. And so, but the thing about it, it also brought a closeness to our communities. And how many of us on the panel, and how many people listen to us around the world, do you know your neighbors? A lot of people don't even know their neighbors. We used to know everybody on several blocks before us, behind us, several miles down the road, because people spoke. They communicated with one another. Okay? So, but anyway, let me get off of that. But I'm so proud of everything that you do. And I'm going to go around the panel because there's something else I want to talk about that you do also. And that has to do with music. But Tiffany, what would you like to say to this wonderful sister?
Well, I wanted to, for those that don't know as well as myself, I wanted to ask you what, because we're talking about diversity and the whole DEI thing, but in adjacent to that, what drew you to swing?
That's a good question. So for me, in joining Swing Fly Swing, it was not a difficult decision for me. I actually joined this organization during my freshman year, my second semester freshman year. I took college credit before entering college. So by the time I reached my second semester of my freshman year, I was technically a first semester sophomore. So that paid off a little bit. So I was always the type of person that would never go with what everybody else was doing. I needed to find out for me what would be the best fit for me. I could have joined any other organization, but with Swing stood out the most. I definitely love the name, you know, supporting women in need of growth, more and high intelligence, and Sisters of Interest Never Gone. That just stood out to me. It spoke monuments. And just to see how the sisters that were on the campus at the time at Lincoln University supported each other. And then you look and see the other organizations, and it was not the same way. It was not so much. They were very distant and not very supportive of each other. And that is something that stood out to me within Swing. They never treated me like I was not a part of the organization, attending their events and everything they had on campus. I never felt like I was not a part of the organization. Didn't feel like an outsider. They were very accommodative to everyone that attended the event. Very nice people, and that's what attracted me to the organization. I made a list before deciding to join Swing on a notepad and said everything that this organization could offer to me and what I could offer to the organization. And I compared the pros and cons, and the pros won. So here I am. And that was my decision in joining this organization. I have 5 other siblings, so I wasn't looking for a sisterhood. I was looking for a group of women with like-minded principles that had a mission and drive to support women of color and just uplift minorities totally. And that's what I was looking for.
Right. Hey, oh, boy, I got to say this. My brother Barrett is listening. Hey, Barrett, how are you? My sister Emma and my brother Barrett is listening. So that is too cool. That is too cool. You know, I tell you, Sister Rose, I joined Groove for the same reason. I went over at Virginia Union University, and there were the Qs, the Kappas, or the Kappas, the Alphas, Sigmas, all of these cats, right? But it was something about Groove Fire Groove, because Groove was a different organization. They were, it was just, it was like down to earth brothers. Okay? I'm just going to say this. Qs, Kappas, and Sigmas, these guys, you know, they walked around, you know, love you guys, but you had your chest stuck out, you know, like you were the stuff on campus. Groove, we were grooves, and if you wanted to go to a party, you went to a groove party. That's what you did, okay? You went to a groove party, and that was the whole deal, and I never looked back, never regretted pledging Groove. What I have loved since then is that not only have we evolved from that party organization to a an organization also that's very much involved in philanthropy. I can look at my two brothers on the left and right of me, and my brother Robert that's in front of me. And I am so proud of these brothers. They get out, they get involved with the community, whether it has to do with food shelters, where they go, they clean up. My brother Clayton is it once a month, they go out and they clean up a street. Now, these gentlemen, they have their own careers, and whether they retired, they take time out and they'll go and pick trash up out of a street. Okay. They'll go out to shelters, food pantries, you know, loading up trucks, distributing food and doing various things in the community. They're involved in education. So many of our brothers around the country. So, Sister Rose, I was telling you earlier, and we were talking about this, about the various things that Grooves and Swings are doing around the throughout the country and in different parts of the world. And I wanted to, along with Sister Rock and my panel here, we wanted to bring a message to the world as a collective unit. Grooves and Swings out there doing things in the community, okay, putting out the information, putting out or providing educational opportunities, inspiring people, perhaps giving them an idea on how they may be able to enhance or change their lives in certain aspects. So anybody else want to say anything about this before I get into what else Sister Rose does?
Yes, I would like to chime in.
Please do.
Now that I got a chance.
Oh, what do you mean, now you got a chance? What are you trying to say?
You hogging the mic.
He can do this.
I don't believe this. First and foremost. I don't believe this. What do you mean I'm hogging the mic?
First and foremost, I like to... You see what I have to deal with, sisters and brothers. First and foremost, I'd like to thank my sisters at Swing 5 Swing Social Fellowship Incorporated. I had the opportunity to collaborate with them again today. We were at Virginia State University at the Wellness Day. And we had Sister Geraldine Atkins, Shador Jones, and Cheryl Mango, Claudia, and what's the other sister's name? I'm sorry, I'll get her name soon. But we were side by side, and we do this often. Geraldine, who we call Twin because her sister was a swing as well who passed away. She was an Army officer. And Geraldine would call me and say, "Brother, we are about to do this. Will you join in?" And I said, "Sure," without hesitation. And the Wellness Day, it had something to do with sending out pamphlets and things that would help our youth at Virginia State. With how are they doing, giving out brochures, giving out little tokens of appreciation to let them know that we are there for them and we are there with them. So Also, speaking of Ronald McDonald House, I'm very familiar with that because on every military base that I was stationed at, they had a military hospital. There was a Ronald McDonald House there close by for that same very reason, that they could, family members could be there on that site. We fed them. We was able to help them out with their special needs. But going back to the groove swing, Geraldine called me for the doorways, which is at VCU MCV Hospital. They have a doorways where they allow the family members to stay overnight at this facility, and we were there feeding them, chili that we had cooked,